Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. And welcome back to Radio Islam on Media Way 1548. Time right now for our Q&A program with Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas. Alhamdulillah, we have started early today. A lot of SMS is coming in already from the people out there. And inshallah, we'll be trying to complete everybody's questions tonight, inshallah. Just to tell our listeners, if we don't, anybody's questions don't go out on air, please forgive us, for there are many, many questions that do come in every week, and we try and finish the questions from the previous week. Our lines open 854-1548. If you are calling from abroad, it's +27118541548. Mobile number for tonight, 0823565988. 0823565988. If you have any other questions, you can email us on air@radioislam.co.za. We have Mufti Sab online right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Sab?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah, Mufti Sab. I hope you're back in Joburg already.
No, not yet.
Still in Durban.
Jee.
Okay, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring you back, inshallah, safely.
JazakAllah.
Okay, let's go. The first question today says, dear Mufti, I own a business. I do not stock fish or chickens. However, I do order for own use from farmer. Will it be permissible to sell to friend who ask for order for him?
Say that again.
The person says, I own a business. I do not stock fish or chickens. But however, I do order the fish and chickens for my own use from a farmer. Will it be permissible to sell to a friend who asked to order for him?
Yes, absolutely permissible. In fact, I do not know whether the brother completed his question. Maybe he wanted to find out whether he can sell it at a profit. He gets the chicken from the farmer at a X price, and then he wants to add on it and sell it to his friend or his relative. He may do so. Although initially he started by getting the chickens, etc., for himself, and now someone else wants it. They want to buy off him. Obviously, this is Muslim radio station, and we expect all that to be halal. So once it is halal, he can sell it and gain profit from it also.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's take the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Can the affairs of the masjid be run under Section 21?
Yes, it is permissible to do so. However, that when you're drawing the constitution of a masjid, then make sure you have got clauses that the masjid cannot be sued, or the masjid also cannot sue, and get advice from a lawyer, so that you put certain clauses inside that the masjid must not go to the court. Even your darulums, your madrasas also, it must be, the constitution must be designed in such a manner that at no instance our graveyard or wakaf properties must land up in court proceedings. We have written one constitution, it's called an ideal constitution for any Islamic institution. It is on our website, alislam.co.za.
JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next question. If performing istikhara during the day, how will one get an answer?
Yes. Generally, we have been informed that when you make istikhara, that's the last thing you do. And then, alhamdulillah, when you sleep and when you get up, you will have an inclination. Now, generally, people think, no, you're supposed to have a very colorful kaleidoscope dream to tell you what is happening, in which direction you should move. However, now the education is reached to that extent that people do understand the fact that you don't have to wait for any angel to come and tell you in your dream, or you do not have to wait for a very kaleidoscope dream, but you have an inclination of the heart when you get up, whether to do it or not to do it. Similarly, the day when you do it, then within a few hours you will have an inclination of the heart whether I must go through with this activity or not. So the inclination of the heart will be the result or the fructification of your istikhara.
Okay, let's take the next question that we have in front of us on the screen here. It says, a sister asks, if you fast and you swallow your phlegm, does your fast break?
It does not break.
Okay, another question on the screen here. It says, are you allowed to use the cinnamon miswak?
Whilst fasting or if you're not fasting, then it is permissible absolutely to utilize the cinnamon miswak. If you are fasting, then although it is permissible, but you should avoid, perhaps you may just like the taste of it and decide to eat the miswak. Although eating of the miswak or the stick of it or the piece of the miswak will not render, a tiny piece of it will not render the fast invalid. However, definitely it's going to be makruh. Ji.
Okay, JazakAllah for that, Mr. Sahab. We have a caller on the line, a brother from El Dorado Park. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Mr. Sahab, I just wanted to know, we tend to call people who don't do things according to our maslak. We call them, for example, people that maybe do different acts like loud dhikr in the masjid and so forth. We call them bid'atis, okay? So what about our ulama? The majority of them do have talks and lectures on the big nights. For example, on the 27th of Rajab and on the 15th of Sha'ban. Yet we know that in our maslak it's written that these acts are not to be done in public. So this obviously, in fact today I was reading Ma'arif al-Quran, it's written that it's a bid'ah to have it on these nights. So would it not then be that our ulama are also liable to be called bid'atis when our prominent, we know even our prominent ulama, they are giving talks on the 15th of Sha'ban and the 27th night. If Mufti Sahib can just answer that. And just another question regarding the program that was held last night where the Qari who can read in different voices. Is it permissible for us to attend these programs? Majority of the people that are there, they are actually laughing and smiling when the Qari is reading instead of admiring the recitation. Why? Because they know he's imitating a prominent Qurra or prominent reciter that they know or they hear on the radio. So they are laughing. They are not actually showing the adab towards the Qur'an. Is it correct for us to attend, and is it correct for our ulama to even put these kind of programs on the radio? Jazakallah.
Jazakumullah for that. Assalamu alaikum. Jim of Islam, let's answer those questions.
As far as what the brother, both points are very valid and pertinent, and we should be very serious about this, what he has stated. The best course of action will be that as he has correctly quoted from Ma'arif al-Quran, etc., that officially there is no talk. Officially there is no talk because of Mi'raj. And Mi'raj also, that particular night is not the night. There are so many opinions about it. Hafiz ibn Hajar Askalani, Rahmatullah alayhi, says there are over 10 opinions about when the Mi'raj took place. Rabiul Awal has been given preference by some. So, when it comes to Shab-e Barat or Laylatul Qadr, that we have these talks and we peg them and we regard them as essential. No sooner we regard these talks as essential and part of deen, then it will become an innovation. So, education should take place. On one side, people want to hear these talks, but if a person is going to go and give those talks, he should educate the public that, listen, this is not farz, wajib, sunnat. This talk, inshallah, we will give it, but the next year we are going to preempt the talk. For example, my suggestion, humble suggestion is that generally throughout the country we have, for example, Laylatul Qadr talk given on the 27th night, sending a absolutely wrong signal that Laylatul Qadr is pegged for the 27th night. We should give talks on the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th, and various talks about Laylatul Qadr, so that the public is made aware. And if no talk is given, that is the closest because during the time of Sahaba, during the time of Tabi'ins, during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no talks were given in these auspicious nights. There are only five auspicious nights, two Eid nights, then you have got the Laylatul Qadr, Shab-e Barat, and remember that the auspicious day is the day of Arafah. So we have got no formalization. Also, these days there is a lot of activity, night vigil on these nights, which is absolutely an innovation. Those who want an article of ours, it is concerning auspicious nights, which are translated from Mufti Abdul Rashid of Saiba Ahsanul Fatawa, and we translated that, and anybody wants it can request it from us, Mufti@mweb, and we will send it to you. You can float that article. As far as his second question is concerned, yes, that again, education should take place. We should not turn these types of kirat jalsas into entertainment. And we should not make this a fanfare or a place where passing the time. And this can be done prior to the recitations, when the adab, etiquette, mannerism of listening to Quran e Kareem are explained. And every now and then in that program of that nature the brother is talking about, the ethics and mannerism of Quran e Kareem should be stressed upon. Also, there is no such thing as coaxing of the Qari. This coaxing of the Qari is a invention which was not prevalent during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Quran al-Kareem, and Sahaba read Quran al-Kareem in front of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one was shouting Maratan Ukhra, recite again, and Ajib, and MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah. Qari sahab is talking about people going to Jahannam, and people are shouting Alhamdulillah and MashaAllah. They don't even know what he's reading. So this also should be addressed via education. The Jalsa of Qiraat can be held in an Islamic manner. However, that we should bottom line regard these Jalsas not as entertainment.
Jazakumullah Fadir. Let's take the next call. I think we have online. Sister from Zakaria Park. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Malana.
I can hear you, brother.
Malana, assalamu alaikum. And to Mufti Sahab also, assalamu alaikum. I just want to ask Mufti Sahab, I've got, we want to feed, just for the pleasure of Allah, we want to feed people. It's family, people, and friends, obviously. And the occasion is because of two of the youngsters in the family becoming ufaz. Is that jaiz? What is the ruling on something like that?
I'll listen on age. Jazakumullah for the question. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Mufti Sahib, let's take the question.
Can I answer?
You can answer.
You sound very faint, Mulana.
You can answer, Mufti Sahib.
Okay. Yes, it is permissible. This is a happy occasion. This is a joyous occasion. And it is stated that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after he had gone through Surah Baqarah, he slaughtered an animal and fed the people. However, that the laws of hijab must be maintained. No un-Islamic activity must take place whilst the feeding is going on. No one must be compelled to bring any gifts for the Hufaz. No photography, etc. And no intermingling of sexes. So on one side there is permissibility. But if you do it in an un-Islamic manner, obviously that which was permissible, now you are going to turn it into a prohibited function, and a function that is going to bring the anger and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a occasion of joy and happiness that our child has completed Quran al-Kareem by way of encouragement to others and by also rewarding him and showing him how important he is, it is good to have such a function. But remember, within the boundaries of Sharia.
Yes. Jazakumullah. Let's take the next question. It says, is it permissible for a Muslim boss to hit his non-Muslim worker for no reason? And what is the punishment for this type of person?
The deen of Islam is complete, easy, simple. And the deen of Islam even protects the rights of animals. And comes in the ahadith that animals complain to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of overloading. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upset about that. So when that law is pertaining and rule is pertaining to animals, no Muslim has got a right to beat up his worker, irrespective of whether that worker is Muslim or not believing. In fact, we should be displaying such character and personality to win over people. And Islam has spread by honesty, integrity, and beautification in our character and personality, fair dealing and justice, not by this oppressive action which has been narrated. That person is a sinner and he should ask forgiveness from the person whom he beat up, irrespective of whether that person was a Muslim or not a believer. Ji.
Okay, we have another caller from Zakaria Park. Brother from Zakaria Park, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I got a question concerning those different constitutions like Sana, NIHT, and you know, Muslim Judicial Council and stuff. Because while we're running a business, and we have a lot of problem with customers and stuff coming, like people don't buy anything else which is not Sana approved. I mean, who do we follow? I mean, Muslim Judicial Council, there's ulama working there, NIHT, there's ulama working there. What do we do? Who do we follow? Who do we believe today?
Okay, is it all you have, brother?
Because also, one more thing is, they've been reading an article now lately about the two Jamiat. There's Jamiat ulama Transvaal, there's Jamiat ulama Gauteng, and then there's people saying that Sana is haram. There's a lot of commotion going on, so I would like to know where the Muslim Ummah falls now. What's happening to the Ummah?
Okay. Allah sana. Assalamu alaikum. Ji, Mufti Sahab.
Ji, can I answer?
You can answer.
We, as listeners of the radio, should repeatedly and constantly make dua to Allah Jalla Majdahu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the ability to unite and serve the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with sincerity and devotion. Previously, when we reiterate our answer concerning halal authorization bodies, firstly, that basically there is no need for any halal authorizing body if you are going to open a cafe, restaurant. You don't have a halal certificate displayed at your house to show your visitors that you got your kitchen in your house is halal. Similarly, that any halal authorizing body, when there are ulama ikram on board, when they are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the day of judgment, and they have got their checks and balances in place, and when they are transparent, then you as a layman would regard that as permissible, and on a lighter side, you will partake of it and pass the sawab to them. It is upon their onus and their conscience and their accountability that you are placing your confidence in. And they, irrespective of which organization, every organization that comes along states clearly that they are fearing Allah and they have got ulama and they are prepared to put their throats on the line. So we as laymen are very clear that they are responsible and duty bound to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. unfortunately, that currently there is no move for unity, but we make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to be united. As far as the Jamiyat are concerned, that we should also make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the ulama the ability to stand on one platform. And also, we should, as laymen, make dua that, for example, if there is one Darul Uloom and another Darul Uloom opens, alhamdulillah, we should make dua. The more ulama serving the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should be happy about it. Ji.
JazakumAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Any other callers? Okay, no other callers in line. Let's take the next question. Can you brush your teeth while fasting?
Permissible to do so, but you must make sure that the toothpaste does not go down your throat. If it goes down your throat, your fast is broken. Gee.
Next question that we have, what is one mithqal in grams and the value, please, urgently?
I answered this question on email to someone, and then inshallah, just remind me, Maulana, I'll give the exact figure next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, JazakAllah.
But the person, if you want to know the reference where you can get it, there is a book called Reliance of the Traveler. Reliance of the Traveler is an excellent book on Shafi fiqh. It has been translated by a person called Kila. And Umdatu Salik is the Arabic of it. An excellent kitab. In that, the definition of mithqal is there. Inshallah, if I can source it tonight, maybe we'll get it. But inshallah, to next session, we'll be able to give you the exact grammage.
Okay, let's take the next call. We have a sister from Indonesia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. I want to ask it, you know, you are told that you can read either 2 or 4 rakats of Ishraq Namaz. Now, in the 4 rakats, should one read it with 1 salam or 2 salams? I'll listen on A.
Okay. JazakAllah for the sister. Assalamu alaikum. Ji, Mufti Sahib.
Ji, I never hear that.
Ishraq Salah, 2 rakats and 4 rakats. She's speaking of Ishraq Salah.
Ji.
2 rakats and 4 rakats.
Ji.
She said, Masjid, can you read with 1 salam or 2 salam?
Nafil Salat, you can read either with 1 salam or 2 salam.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next question. We have a question here that says, is it permissible for women to wear imitation jewelry?
Yes, it is permissible for them to adorn imitation jewelry.
Okay, let's take the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. This is a question that I would like to ask you. I'm a person that reads my salah, alhamdulillah, but a lot of times I don't read my salah, and I feel it in my heart that, oh Allah, I not read my salah. Something really hurts in my heart and really pinches me. Is this a sign of iman? And what can I do to be steadfast on my salah?
Oh yes, once a person is feeling hurt about non-performance of a good action, then alhamdulillah, we should be happy because now the person is focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that person should not be despondent. It is meaning of one hadith that this is a good sign of iman, that a person, when not behaving like a Muslim, performing like a Muslim, acting like a Muslim, then the person feels hurt about it, that person, he should be happy that alhamdulillah, that now he's getting on track. And this person should not be despondent and should make every effort to become a regular, especially about the Farz Salat. Inshallah, the Farz Salat will draw that person onto the Sunnat and Nawafil Salat.
Next question, we have a caller anonymous from Palm Ridge. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Can you go to a non-Muslim grave and fix it up?
Why you want to do that?
Brother?
Yeah?
Mufti Sahib asked, why do you want to do that? Can you hear me, brother?
Yeah.
Mufti Sahib asked, why would you do that?
I just want to find out.
Okay, you just want to find out. Okay, fine. Is that all you have? Is that all you have, brother?
Yeah.
Okay, so JazakAllah for the question. You can listen on air, inshallah.
If that grave is collapsing, etc., you can go and put sand on it. It is permissible to do so. The other brother asked about miskal. What it is, it grabs. It is 4.235 grams. I hope that brother is listening. One miskal is equal to 4.235 grams.
Let's take the next question. Just to remind listeners, lines are open. 8541548082356-5988. That's our mobile number for tonight. A husband gave his wife 2 talaq verbally. Will it be right for the wife to go back to the husband?
Yes, it is absolutely permissible for the wife to go back to the husband. And the marriage can be either reconciled in two ways. One is qawli, one is fairly. Qawli by statement, fairly by action. That he takes his wife back before the expiry of iddat. And the iddat in that case, whether it is one talaq or two talaq, is 3 maturational periods. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, and 3 pure periods according to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi. So within that time, he should tell his wife that she is his wife and make up. That is by verbal testification, and that will tend about to reconciliation. And if he behaves with her how a husband behaves with the wife, then that will also serve adequately as a reconciliation method, and he can have his wife back. After the iddat period is over, he still can take her back, but then they'll have to make a fresh nikah.
We have another call online. I think we have 2 callers online. Let's take the first caller, brother, from El Arara Park. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Ji, brother.
How are you, sir?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, brother?
Ya shukla, alhamdulillah. I want to know. Salam alaikum.
Ji, wa alaikum salam. You can go ahead, brother. You're on air live.
Okay. I want to ask, what happens sometimes, maybe you are leading mass, sometimes you, like myself, I feel sometimes when I stand for ibadah, I can feel my heart beating so hard like as if I'm running.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, is it all you have? Any other questions?
No.
Okay, you can hear on the radio, inshallah, okay?
Okay.
JazakAllah, assalamu alaikum. Mufti Sahib,
let's
take the next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Maulana,
Chief.
I just wanted to ask Mufti Sahib that when you get up for Fajr, you get up earlier, can you read Yasin Sharif before you, the Fajr namaz, or do you have to read it after Fajr namaz?
Okay, JazakAllah for the question.
Okay, JazakAllah.
Mufti Sahib.
It is better to read Yasin after the Fajr Salat, but if you do it before that, the day has commenced, then it is permissible to do it before the Fajr also. The heart beating fast of that person should try the following remedy, that he should make wuzu, and after wuzu, prior to making salah, then sit down. He should sit down and read a lot of Durood Sharif. Then, inshallah, he should stand up to perform his salah. This person should try this, then inshallah, he will experience coolness and calmness and tranquility in his salah. The other thing is that he should try to find out what is making him in salat to have this feeling of his heart pounding. Is he concentrating on the words of the imam, or is this happening in silent namazes also? If it is happening in silent namazes also, then this brother should make it a point of reading two rakats of salat of hajat daily and pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relax his situation. Also, he should be reading Ayatul Kursi and blowing on water so his saliva goes in the water and let him drink it. Inshallah.
Okay, we have another caller, brother from Greenside. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. I should ask something. I've heard in the hadith that when the ummah is in trouble, the second, in the Fajr Salah, the rigid dua qunut, looking at the present situation of the ummah, don't you think that we should start doing that?
Okay, is it all you have, brother?
Yes.
Okay, Jazakallah for the question. Assalamu alaikum.
He's talking about qunut and nazila. And this is recited when there is a tremendous undue injustice lashed upon the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is localized, that where the calamity is taking place and where the onslaught of the Muslims is taking place, then the ulama of that area will decide to read the kunut nazila. For example, in our country at the moment, yes, what he is saying, globally we are experiencing tremendous difficulties against the innocent Muslims. However, in those areas where the atrocities against the Muslims are unabated, there the ulama ikram will be, inshallah, reading the qunut nazila. Locally, we are not under the same difficulties as experienced in other parts of the Muslim world. That is why we do not do it locally. Yeah.
Okay, let's take the next caller. We have a sister from Zarwal. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I just wanted to find out if it is possible for a Muslim to see a non-Muslim spiritual healer.
Possible or permissible?
Permissible.
Oh. Spiritual healer.
Like, you know, for example, you've been going to Amils for over 16 years and you're seeing no difference. Each one tells you a lot of stories, takes out a lot of money from you, and in the end you're just the way you are. So somebody suggested it could be a kind of black magic that the Amils cannot cure.
Yeah.
So they said probably it is only the black doctors.
Okay, I understand your question.
Okay, JazakAllah for this, sister. Assalamu alaikum. Chief of Islam, you can answer.
This question has been dealt in Fatawa Rahimiyah Volume 1. And inshallah, in our translation that will soon come out, I think it will still be in Fatawa Rahimiyah Volume 1. And Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, discusses this rule. And we summarize it by stating that if all treatments have failed, and if all the diagnosis and treatments of the Amil Muslim has failed, then it will be permissible as a last resort to go to someone who is not a Muslim for the sole purpose of diagnosing and treating that particular ailment, which is in brackets supernatural in nature. However, all forms of hijab must be adhered to. At no stage the female must be left alone with either a Muslim amil or a non-Muslim. And also, if the non-Muslim amil utilizes any words of kufr and shirk, then it is not permissible to go there. If that person recites anything which you do not understand, then it is safer not to go there. If that amil has to give any treatment by way of eating, and eating would mean eating something haram, then it is absolutely not permissible to go to that person. So all those clauses and preconditions, the room of permissibility exists, but there are many, many rules.
Okay, Jazakumullah for that. Mufti Sahib, let's see the next question. Brother embraced Islam lately and brother does dhikr. I don't know what it means here. Okay, we'll just ask the brother to phone in again. Ask a question. Okay, he says the brother embraced Islam lately and he does dhikr, dhikr qalbi. What is Mufti Sahib's view on this?
In order to do zikr e kalbi, then we will appeal to the brother that he must have a spiritual mentor, and a good spiritual mentor, who is able to supervise him, control him, guide him along the lines of making such a zikr. He has just accepted Islam, and now to go into zikr kalbi so quickly, it will perhaps be difficult for him. He must become very, very regular and conscious in salah. That which is obligatory and wajib and sunnah, we should hold fast upon. Read a lot of durood, Quran Sharif. And if he is going to go into spiritual exercises, then definitely he must do it under the guardianship, supervision of a proper, reliable, valid spiritual mentor.
Let's take the next question. We just remind us on the lines are open, 8541548. Our mobile number is 0823565988. It says, what was the hairstyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of what length was it?
There's the kitab in detail is Shama'il al-Tirmidhi describing everything about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his physique, his physical and all parts of his external appearances have been detailed in clearly stated that there are three types of three levels of hair. One is absolutely no hair on the head. Secondly is to have it at the earlobes, and thirdly till the shoulders. But remember, once you have got hair on the head, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith has stated, honor your hair. Sahaba asked, how? Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated this when one Sahabi had his hair disheveled, in disarray. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, honor your hair. Sahaba asked, how? He said, oil it and comb it. Now comb it does not mean that every time. And now men have become like ladies also, unfortunately, that whenever you see them, they're combing, busy combing the hair, and busy trimming up, busy combing the beards. No, no, once in a while to comb the hair and the beard. That is the best Islamic method. But to keep it neat and tidy and clean all the time. Also to comb it backwards.
Let's take the next question. Sister used to read two rakat nafil salah for the marhum, and someone said you cannot do this. Is this true or not?
Someone who said that he is not an authority in Islam, and we should not listen to someone. You should try and make every endeavor to link yourself with ulama haqqani rabbani and knowledgeable ulama. It is absolutely permissible to perform any nafil action and confer the rewards upon any deceased or living person also.
Let's take the next question. It says, is the hadith salah, so I don't know what is, okay, let's take this now. Is the hadith salah mi'raj al-mu'min authentic?
No, there is no such hadith. This is a saying. This is a saying, is no hadith. Hujjatullah al-Baligha commentaries, Rahmatullah al-Wasiya, Allama Sayyid Palampuri has stated that clearly there, under the section of Salah. I think it is in volume 2.
Jazakumullah for the Mufti Sahib. Can I be my mother-in-law's mahram because she wants to go for Hajj? And can Mufti please advise me?
It is absolutely permissible to go with your mother-in-law as an Arab. There is no harm in doing so. However, if your mother-in-law is very young and you are very young, then you should be cautious.
Next question, is istikhara necessary to read when one wants to get married? Please explain.
Istikhara is not necessary. Focal istikhara above superior than istikhara is mashwara, consultation. Consultation with your family members. Consultation with your elders of the family. Consultation with your ulama. Consultation with your well-wishers that whether you should get married to that particular girl or not, or that particular boy or not. So, first opt for consultation. And then, as a last resort, if you're still confused, then go in for istikhara. Ji.
My sister says she does not have to pay zakat. But if she wants to, can she give zakat every month?
First of all, she must not say the question is posed wrong. That she does not want to give zakat. No, no, if zakat is farz upon a person, then that person cannot say, I don't want to give zakat. That person will deny the obligatory nature of zakat and may go out of the fold of Islam. Yeah, the question is posed wrong. That zakat, the person is not liable to give zakat. Meaning, zakat is not farz upon that person. But the person wants to give out some charity. That person should give out charity. It won't be classified as zakat. But inshallah, the person will get tremendous reward. Because that person will be giving out lillah. Although that person is not giving out zakat, that person will be giving out lillah. And this we should all worry about. That no matter how small an amount it is, that we should be giving lillah, irrespective of whether we are payers of zakat or not. If the Muslim community starts giving lillah, no matter how small it is, then inshallah we will become financially, economically self-sufficient in running of our darulums, masajids, and Islamic affairs. Ji.
Let's take the next question. It says, what is the best dua to make for a good proposal?
Safe method is to read two rakat of Salatul Hajat, Salatul Deed, and plead before Allah Jalla Majdahu that Ya Allah, send a good proposal and let me settle down in peace. And that is the best method. And there are certain du'as to be recited. If the person contacts us on muftie@mweb.co.za, we will send them certain du'as to recite. There's a whole booklet which is unpublished at the moment, which we have translated concerning du'as for those who are seeking spouses.
JazakAllah Fadil Muqtaza. Let's take the next question. What happens to a person who doesn't read Jum'ah Salah on Fridays?
That person is a sinner. And according to the hadith, if a person misses out three Friday, that means Jummah Salat, that person is a very big sinner. And he is a transgressor, evildoer. And his heart begins to become sealed towards the teachings of Islam. Jummah, a person without any valid reason, should never ever miss out. And valid reason meaning sick or on journey. And our ulama are so particular that even on journey, they will not miss their Jummah Salat. To leave out Jummah Salat is definitely a sign of extremely weak iman. And unfortunately, that person will sooner or later begin to slowly leave the major tenets of Islam other than Salat also. Ji.
Taking the next question, what happens to a person... Okay, this question I think passed early on. Let's take the next question just to remind listeners our lines are open, 85415 48. Any other questions that you would like to ask? Our mobile number is 0823565988. Can Mufti Sahab please comment about people Salah on Fridays, but with okay, fine. Okay, we have a caller. We have a caller from Verlam, I think. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa
alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Brother, you on air?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me well?
We can hear you, brother.
Jazakallah so much. My name is Bilal. I just wanted to know, please, from the Mufti, inshallah, if it is permissible for a wife to pluck her eyebrows to beautify herself for her husband and not for anyone else, inshallah.
Is that all you have, brother? Is that the only question?
Say again.
Is that the only question you have?
Yes, that's the only question. Sorry.
Okay. Jazakallah for that. Assalamu alaikum. Mufti Sahab.
You want to trim eyebrows?
Black eyebrows.
Black eyebrows.
For husband's pleasure.
No. The eyebrows, Masalah, we have stated very clearly that the eyebrow should be left as it is. And we have gone through this Masalah so many times. Perhaps the brother has only got his satellite now. That is why he's calling concerning this Masalah. The excuse of beautification for the husband is no valid excuse for trimming of the eyebrows.
Jazakumullah. Let's take the next question. Some mothers in hijab move around with their daughters without scarf. Mufti, please comment.
In any family, we should make an effort that when the husband is reforming, then he should take his whole family towards the procedure of reforming slowly. He should not go to the finishing line and then turn around and see that his family hasn't even started the race. He should go rushing to the finishing line towards reformation, but at the same time take his family with him. Explain to them the importance of Islam, Sharia, Sunnah, etc. Nowadays, unfortunately, we find sometimes the person is standing kurta, turban, beard, and near him standing, unfortunately, wife half naked. On the other hand, you find the reverse. Wife completely covered, socks and gloves also. Husband standing nearby wearing Bermudas, dark glasses. So what has happened here, in both cases, reformation has taken place without consultation and proper together movement. So the mother who is in hijab should explain to the daughter academically also the importance and significance and beauty and dignity lies in hijab. And they should adorn the hijab together. Ji.
Let's take the next question as we have here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. Is it permissible to read 40 Yasins by yourself for in a certain need or wish of yours to be fulfilled?
In the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, it is stated clearly that you read any portion of Quran al-Kareem, any portion, one ayat even. We understand from that hadith, even one ayat, and make dua, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. Don't pick anything. Gee.
Next question that we have here, it says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. I have a 4-year-old son who is very stubborn. What could I read to remove the stubbornness? And would you... Okay, fine, that's all.
First of all, try to analyze why he is becoming stubborn. Is he seated in front of the video games whole day? Is he seated in front of the television half the day? Is he witnessing people around him talking loudly and shouting? Is he witnessing around him quarreling and fighting? Is he in such an environment where there is yelling and screaming? Is he in an un-Islamic environment? Is he in an environment where there is domestic violence, or is he in an environment where there are domestic difficulties? is he in an environment that he is not practicing Islam? Bring him into an environment where the salat performed, where there is zikr made, that is in the house, where there is Quran being read, where there is an Islamic ethos. Cool him down by the environment. When he sees salah, and when he sees people around him reading Quran, and when he sees people around him dress in a particular manner as Muslims, he'll automatically cool down. Whilst he's asleep, then place your hand on his forehead and read Ya Shahidu 21 times and blow on him. Inshallah, he will become relaxed and cool and calm.
We have a brother from KwaZulu Natal, and let's take him. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Mulana. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, brother?
Assalamu alaikum to Mufti Saab. I just have two questions. Mufti Saab, could please enlighten me on who are the Ashab al-Sufa and what was their relationship with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Jazakallah, listen on the
air. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Okay, Mufti Saab, mashallah, brother, ask very nice questions you ask every week. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. What you call, he's in the area that I'm in. I don't know who this brother is, but maybe one day he meet me, talk to me, I've registered his voice, I'll pick it up. The Ashab al-Sufa are the people of the platform. Certain people translate this, the people of the portico, or the people who stayed in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here I would like to just advise the listeners that when they go to masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then attached to the room wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried, there are two platforms. One is a small platform, and in the center of that small platform is the Mihrab-e-Tahajjud. And behind that platform is another large platform where all the time you find, alhamdulillah, people sitting there reading Quran, Salat, making Askar. Now, the guides unfortunately tell you that that platform is the platform of Sufa. That is erroneous, because it is an established fact that the Ashab al-Sufa stayed in the masjid. And that platform, both those platforms, were not in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you're interested, then now we have got the new diagrams out. You can email me, and then each other will send you the new diagrams, where we demarcate the actual areas where the Ashab al-Sufa was, and then in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved because of the quantity increased. Some have stated that Ashab al-Sufa number varied from 70 to over 100. There is a Morana Dr. Muhammad Elias Abdul Ghani wrote a kitab on the history of Medina, and there he has clearly demarcated via diagrams the actual position of the Ashab al-Sufa. Also, that Mufti Ashiq Ilahi Bulanchari Rahmatullah Alayhi has written a kitab on Ashab al-Sufa. And the prominent person among the Ashab al-Sufa was Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, right name Abdul Rahman Dawsi. And he narrated the most amount of ahadiths according to the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat. They stayed in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were poor, and wherever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given gifts, he shared it with them. And in many times, he shared it with them before his own family. That was how merciful Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And they were all the time engaged in teaching, learning, studying under the tutorship of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ji.
JazakAllah. Let's take the next question. It says, what dua does one read for barakah in his life?
Many duas, however, the most simple formula is to become very, very regular in salat. Wood jama, number one. Secondly, to be in the state of wuzu all the time. Be in the state of wuzu all the time. Thirdly, that read a lot of Quran and make dua. Fourthly, in the fazail of durood, it comes that if a person reads a lot of durood, then his rosy becomes very, very easy. Fifthly, recitation of Surah Yasin in the morning will make the needs of the day easily obtainable. So abstain from sin, act on the farais, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will grant good halal rosy.
A husband and wife were having an argument. Wife insisted husband must give her talaq, and the husband refuses, puts down the phone, then says talaq. Wife did not hear it, but somebody overheard it. Is the talaq valid or not?
Yes, the talaq is valid. Because if the husband intended, obviously, the talaq will be valid. And yeah, it is the mahal, the siyak and sibak. The conversation is about talaq, and the conversation prior to him saying talaq is concerning talaq. So he is saying talaq is not out of craziness or madness, or not out of teaching, or not out of context. It is within the context that he is saying this word talaq, because this previous conversation rotated around giving of talaq. For talaq, no witnesses are required. For marriage, witnesses are required. If a person sits alone in his room and states talaq to his wife, obviously the talaq will take place. Validity of talaq, no witnesses are required. Ji.
Okay.
That means one talaq will fall.
Okay. JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. We have an anonymous brother from, okay, from Northwest Province. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Sister, assalamu alaikum. Alaikum salam. Jesus, are you alive on air?
Yeah, I wanted to find out, there's a friend of mine who's having a lots of personal problems, and she was advised by a well-wisher to read the Fazail-e Amal for 40 days, and whatever needs she have will be met, and also for a lot of barakah in the home. So I want to know from which hadith is this? Which source is this?
Okay, JazakAllah for that question. Assalamu alaikum. Up.
That brother told them to read Fazail Amal for 40 days. I never see that. So the brother was saying, but read the Fazail Amal for 40 days, ask him. And I do not know where this brother has got such a narration. There can never be any hadith, because the Fazail Amal was not present in the form it is currently during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perhaps that brother must have stated that if you read Fazail Amal, inshallah, the environment in your house will change, and when the environment changes and you are encouraged to do good, then inshallah you will start doing good, then the barakah will descend upon your house. So there is some miscommunication and some misinterpretation going on here. Ji.
Let's take the next question. It says, is it sunnah for the imam to make dua loudly in a gathering? Is it advisable or not?
Maulana Ashraf Ali Thalvi Rahmatullah Ali preferred to make dua silently. Yes, if you want to make dua audibly, remember clearly also that Hanafis should be saying the Ameen inaudibly. Just like we say the Ameen inaudibly after Surah Fatiha in Salah. Generally, unfortunately, because of lack of education, that the Hanafis also, when the Imam makes dua, they begin to say Imam Ameen loudly, audibly. And this is not proper. It is better to make the dua softly, inaudibly. It is permissible to make the dua audibly.
Next question, are women allowed to wear 9-carat gold rings?
According to the research of Mufti Razaul Haq, Damat Barakatuh, whom it is permissible.
Can we read Qada Salah after Fajr Salah, or must we read it before the Fajr Salah?
It is better to read it before the Fajr Salah. To read it after the Fajr Salah in public will create confusion. It is permissible to do so after, if there is still the time of Salah. And when there is no prohibited time of Salah in motion. Sahib Ahsan al-Fatawa has written on this.
Let's take the next call. We have a brother from Indonesia. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Sahib, I've got a question for you, man. About 3 weeks ago, I ordered a mail parcel from one of the mail companies in Johannesburg. They sent the parcel to me on the 3rd of July. But unfortunately, no one was at home, and my neighbor accepted the parcel. They signed for it, everything. So we waited for the 14-day period that they told us, and on investigation, we found the neighbor had signed for the parcel. They've got the parcel in their possession, but they are denying it outright now to us and to the mailing company that they do have the parcel. In my words, my context, this is theft. What is the Sharia ruling regarding a situation like this? And they are Muslims. The wife works for the Indonesia Muslim school to top it all. And, you know, in full hijab, the husband got a mashallah sunnah beard with a kurta, but they refused to give our parcel. Can you please tell me what is the Sharia ruling regarding something like this?
Okay. JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum. Okay. The brother can hear his question. Answer on A, inshallah.
Yes, first of all, here, that if the person, as he sounds quite upset, if he's got sufficient evidence, then he should take the matter to court. Because if he's got sufficient evidence, that means he's able to come over the A and say with confidence that the neighbor has got the article. And if he's got proof, then he must take the matter to court and prove that that parcel has been signed by the neighbor. And let that matter go to court and let those people go to court. However, prior to taking them to court, tell them you are going to take them to court, number one. Secondly, that if they have done so, that is definitely theft. And theft brings the anger, wrath, displeasure of Allah, creates no barakat and blessings and goodness. And irrespective of where the person is working, theft is theft. Wrong is wrong, irrespective of who does it. So, first of all, the person has to be pretty sure and certain and definite about his allegation and accusation. And it should not be a conjecture or a speculation. That is why I am saying that if he feels that he is certain and definite, take the matter forward and let the court decide. But warn them first, you are going to take this matter seriously and you are going to investigate it and let the investigation prove that they have signed for it. Hearsay, conjecture, we should not make judgment upon.
JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next caller, sister from Malaysia. Assalamu alaikum.
I'd like to ask Mufti Sahib can you take sweets from a nabaligh child? Is it permissible?
Okay, can you take sweets from a nabaligh child? JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum. Jay Mufti Sahib.
What was the question?
Can you take sweets from a nabaligh child?
Technically, it is permissible because the person who gave the sweet to the child, that person indirectly is the custodian and guardianship of the child. So that person has given the nabalik child that sweet. Now that nabalik child is giving another person, balik or nabalik. Then obviously a person can receive it from that person. There is no complications about that. It is absolutely permissible to take sweets and of these items of this nature from a nabalik child. Items of value. For example, now the nabalik child says, have this pram. obviously you cannot take that. The nabalik child says that have this baby's blanket, you cannot take that. Trivial items like sweet, chocolate, etc., which hold no monetary real value of great nature, you can take from me and you can receive and utilize from the nabalik child.
Taking the next question on the SMS, it says, Assalamu alaikum, my nephew bought a new car through the bank. Now I want to pay the bank and tell him to pay me the installment. Can I ask him for a profit on this?
Yes, you can do so. You can do so, and technically what you should be doing, that buying the vehicle off him. Buying the vehicle and let there be two transactions. When you got two transactions, that means you are reselling that vehicle to your relative or your nephew, then that will become absolutely permissible.
Okay, let's take the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti, I like a certain girl, but I don't have any money to get married. What should I do or eat?
First of all, how that happened, that you like certain girl? When that happened? Why that happened? What are the circumstances? Who asked you to go and look? Especially now after seeing and now after getting infatuated, now you want to solve the problem that you have created, self-created and self-imposed upon yourself. In the first place, you're not supposed to be looking. First go look for a job and get yourself financially stable. However, if you have got people around you who are going to support you financially upon your marriage, then you may do so. Then you are permitted to go and look in that case. Secondly, if you are going to sin, if you do not get married, then you should go and look. And in that case, irrespective of whether you got money or not, make everything simple, live a simple, absolutely simple life, and work, look for some work, and sustain yourself in a meager budget.
Okay, let's take the next question that we have here in front of us. It says, what should one a person do if after committing zina, he regrets what he done and he wants to change?
First of all, make a proper tawbah, meaning cry before Allah, plead before Allah that what you have done is a sin and you will never ever go near that sin. Stay far from everything that leads to the sin. Be remorseful every time you think of that sin and then straighten your life. Allah Ta'ala will forgive, inshallah.
Next question, please assist. What is the Sharia ruling with using pirate software, example Windows XP, Office, Shukran, pirate copies?
Some ulama of the opinion that copyright is permissible, others are of the opinion that copyright is not permissible. Whatever you want to act upon, act upon.
Taking the next question, it says, may a policy for a breast cancer protection and female health be taken out?
To take out medical aid is permissible.
Next question, it says on the screen in front of us, if a parent gives one child land before the parent passes away, do the other children have claim on this land according to Sharia?
If the parent gave that land in a state of sanity without duress and wrote it with witnesses, then it has been given and the others do not have a right over it.
The person says, I want to become a good, truthful person. What can I do? Also, please make dua for my success.
This is very good. A very good intention. And truthfulness brings the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very quickly. And lying, deception, deceiving, falsehood, the malaika of mercy run away from that person. And that person who lies and deceives is full of remorse and always in anxiety and distress. Truthfulness is an excellent quality which every person should imbibe. And this will lead a person to goodness, kindness, and will draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should firmly resolve that come what may, under every and any circumstances, I will never deviate from the actual fact. And keep that the morning till the evening. And every evening before sleeping, assess the whole day and draw a chart too, if you want, how many times I have deceived the whole day. And inshallah, if you take stock of yourself every day, then you will improve daily and become a very pious person by the mere quality of truthfulness. Very good intention, that is.
Okay, we have a request here from a sister. It says, or brother, it says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. May Mufti please repeat which kitab I can find the du'as for looking for a good spouse.
That kitab is not published. The person, I will email it, Maulana Hamad, to you. Tomorrow, inshallah, you send me an email. Inshallah, I'll email it to you, and those brothers can contact you after that.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair, Mufti sahab. If one is interested related debt, can one accept zakat money and that is offered to pay off those certain debts?
When a person is in debt, then a person can accept zakat money to offset the debt, irrespective, unfortunately, of the method how that debt occurred.
Next question, what happens if you forget to send salams after salah?
After salah. If a person stated any word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah ta'ala, then that salat will be valid.
Okay, we have, let's take our last caller, brother from Roshni. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
I've got a question for Mufti sahab. I've got an old mother, elderly mother of 83 years old. She has Parkinson's going on to Alzheimer's. Certain days she recognizes things, she knows what's happening. I don't know what's her position with her namazes. Must we give qaza namaz or must we pay fidya or what is the story or is the namazes maaf or what is the position with that? I'll hear on the radio.
JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. At that age they worried about the salah. That's a very good sign. We should all worry about our salah also. And be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has granted us iman, health, and we should make every effort to make all the salah, hujjamah. And Allah reward all those who are caring for her. It is a form of jihad to care for incapacitated people, old people. Tremendous reward. Yeah. Whenever that person is able to focus, then let them make the salah. However, that at that age, it is better now to calculate and give out the kafara at a later stage. Because as I hear and listen, that the person, incapacitated person, will not be focused at all. So we do not know the validity of the salat even. Safer now to calculate how many salat are going by and for every salah later on to give out the kafara. Kafara will mean that the sadqatul fitr for every salat missed. And do not forget the witr wajib salah. Ji.
JazakAllah for the service. The next question. Is it permissible to utilize interest earned on bank accounts for payment of income tax?
Permissible to do so.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next question that we have here. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever forgive a thief if he repents?
Most certainly, inshallah.
Okay, I think that's our last question. Okay, for one last question. Is it permitted to burn a fly or a mosquito as they are pests?
As they are?
As they are pests.
Don't willfully do it. Meaning that now to create such a situation that you are going to willfully make a fire to burn them, that you should not be doing. Yes, that if there are certain alats available, instruments available, that if they come into that contact because of the quantity of flies and etc., they attach themselves into these incinerators, etc., that is permissible. But now to willfully torch them, that is harmful, and that we should not be doing. That sounds of a sick brain.
JazakAllah Fadir Muftisab. I think that is our last question. You don't have any other questions, no other callers also, okay.
Inshallah.
Some nasiha from inshallah from your side, Muftisab.
We did promise something, and then I want to complete that, fulfill that promise. And we had that brother questioning that is qaza necessary, and then he quoted some hadith, and as far as we are concerned, from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, that we should be making qaza. Just bear with me for 3-4 minutes. Hadith 1, it is narrated from Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that if a person forgot to read Salah or stayed asleep, then he should fulfill it when he remembers. There is no kafara for it except that, meaning besides the fulfilling of that Salah. In this hadith, Hazrat Qatada has also mentioned these words, وَاقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ لِذِكْرِ, that establish Salah for my remembrance. Bukhari, volume 1, page 84. Muslim, volume 1, page 241. And there are various other hadiths wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that we should make qaza salat. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was prevented from making salah during the Battle of Trench, and as soon as he got the opportunity, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the salah. He did not make toba, as that brother is trying to say in the public, that oh, if you miss a salah, no need for qaza salat, you just have to make toba. Hazrat Anas bin Malik states, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever forgot to read Salah or stayed away asleep, that kafara for this is when he remembers, he must read it. Muslim, volume 1, page 241. And also similarly in, again, Muslim, volume 2, volume 1, page 241. Also in Bukhari, volume 1, page 83, and Muslim, volume 1, page 227. The whole incident of the Battle of Trench is there, where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed Salah, and as soon as he got the time, he made the Salah again. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as an example to us. And the story of the trench where he misses the Salah is also recorded in Tirmidhi, volume 1, page 43. Now Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came as an example to us, and he did not make just toba, he made the qaza of it. If toba was only sufficient, then he should have made toba and carried on with life. But Allah has stated that we are supposed to be following Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's got a noble conduct for us to adhere to. And he, when he missed the salat, he himself states clearly, if you miss the salat, or you fell asleep, as soon as you remember, you must perform the salah. And also, the person should look at Muwatta Imam Malik, page 155, where it proves clearly the view of the Ahl-e Sunnat wal Jamaat that qaza is necessary. This concept of qaza being not necessary is erroneous. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to become regular in salah. Jazakallah.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahab. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala increase you in knowledge, inshallah, and give you barakah, inshallah.
Ameen. Ameen.
And request dua from you as well.
Inshallah. Dua for, request dua for you and from the listeners also.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakumullah. That was Mufti Abdul Hussain Ilyas for the Q&A program. Inshallah, Jazakumullah for Mufti Sahab's time. We had Mufti Sahab was coughing now at the end. May Allah give him shifa kamila ajila daima, inshallah.